Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that everyone is born with psychic abilities? It's just a matter of knowing how to tap into it. Wouldn't it be great to have a podcast that can help? This is the Psychic Inside Show. Joel the Vibrarian,
on a higher frequency,
is on a mission to elevate, enlighten, and empower. We're all born with gifts and abilities, but not all of us recognize or accept them. Hear from people who've opened up to the psychic inside. You'll hear their fascinating stories, and we'll take a peek behind the veil, plus psychic readings and more. Our phone line is open. Dial 646-787-8436. That's 646-787-8436. This is the Psychic Inside Show. And now your host, Joel the Vibrarian.
Greetings and welcome. Hello. This is the Psychic Inside Show, and my name is Joel. I'm your host. Every week I am here having conversations with people who I find so fascinating. It is absolutely my joy and delight to come here for these conversations. I'm here on the Blog Talk Radio Network on the Vibrary Collective Network, and this show comes on Tuesdays. It's live, and you can always call us at 646-787-8436. If you would like to come on the air with a question, you'll just need to press the pound or hash key and one. That lets me know that you want to come on to the show. Now, some weeks I have readings and some weeks I don't. And this week we are not going to be having readings. So if you do want to come on to ask a question, it will be about like the conversation that we're having. So I'm so appreciative of each of you who join us for these. And you can catch the archives on the Vibrary YouTube channel. We're also out on iTunes and Audible and all the podcast directories. So there's never anything missed from these experiences. Now, I love being connected in Atlanta to the community here. It is thriving and vibrant. There's a lot of higher consciousness movement in Atlanta, and there's a legacy, I think, that extends for decades of Atlanta being very kind of welcoming to metaphysical and higher consciousness energy. And so I am constantly meeting people who know people who know people, and the thread just continues on, and I keep encountering more people. And tonight my guest is no different. I know you've heard me talk about that I spend time up at Holistic Health and Wellness in Marietta, Georgia. It's a metaphysical store, and I'm friends with the owners, Don and Stacy, and I also do readings up there myself. And at that intersection point, it's a kind of a light hub and up in the community. And so at that way station, I've met some awesome people, and my guest tonight is one of those that I am looking forward to getting to know better. I was up at Holistic, and there was a crossing of paths. I was finishing my day, and her session was just starting. There was a sound bath that was going to be held that evening, and the artist that was going to be holding that space is my guest tonight. Her name is Manal. Manal, Sudani Manal, thank you so much for joining me for tonight's show.
Thank you for hosting me, Joelle. I'm really honored to be on the show, and I'm very excited to know more about it. And yes, for sure, we have connected at some intersection, but it's just a wonderful connection to be here with you today and to hear your voice.
Oh, yeah. Dawn was so insistent. She was like, you have to meet the sound healer. You have to meet her. Just stay a little bit longer. And of course, you were getting ready for the space that you were holding for the sound experience. So we didn't even have time to say anything other than hello. But in the subsequent weeks, we kind of reached out minimally. But I have to say, Manal, you know, I don't even know where to begin in terms of all the things that you talk about that you do. And I know that you have like a very interesting life story just from reading your bio. But for those who are interested, you can catch, and it's M-A-N-A-L-S-O-U-D-A-N-I And that's all your websites have that. You have like several websites. So we're going to get that established first. And then depending on which facet people want to connect you with, we'll kind of go from that point. But you have had like a very intense journey, it sounds like, and that your walk into accepting or using your gifts and abilities happened at a fairly young age. Would you say that the word psychic encompasses your idea of how you began to tap in to do your healing work?
I would believe yes. I think we are all born with gifts, you know, we just come into this world. And when we start feeling that we're different and we hear other people telling us we're different, then we know we're different.
Mm-hmm.
And having a gift from being psychic, or I call it more of being intuitive, because, mm-hmm. you know, being psychic has to do with all kinds of sensations and emotions, sensory, sound, visions, images, just sometimes thoughts, you know, so we can mm-hmm. hear different messages that come to us. And mm-hmm. I think I'm one of the blessed people because I was born like that. I can sense things. In my dream, I see things that happen later on mm-hmm. in life. And mm-hmm. that's another empowering tool I think I have that I'm blessed with. And then being raised also in an environment that enhances you to be mm-hmm. yourself, to be liberal at a certain point, of course, because mm-hmm. also the cultures, the fabric of the cultures are different between the West and the East. And mm-hmm. from my background and experience being born in Jordan, which is in the Middle East, and then traveling different countries, residing in main cities from London to Dubai and moving to Atlanta is a huge also impact on my journey. Because the more you interact with like-minded people, the more you feel the vibration that raises within you as well. And that's how your journey keeps going and how that you develop and grow as well.
That is so absolutely true. Like pieces of the energy, as you talk about, there's such a difference in the vibration of the planet, first of all, in different places, and that activates us. But the cultures and the beliefs and the people at different places around our planet really, it expands us so much. And I'm so appreciative of being able to be in a cross-section like Atlanta, which is, it's got its little own international flow happening. And to be able to have conversations outside of the Amerocentric perspective, because a lot of our coloring of the topic of, or the word psychic, or using those kinds of spiritual gifts, such as divination and dreaming, has kind of been repressed here in the United States. Have you experienced
Well, I can tell you there are other also spots in the world that it's also like repressed somehow, mm-hmm. but you find your way, you find your community at one point, and mm-hmm. in a very beautiful way, things get connected. Sometimes you go very low, you know, you can't expose all yourself, and other times you just test the water until you feel like you are comfortable. And when I first moved here, which was 9 years ago, mm-hmm. I can tell you, I couldn't say that I'm, like yoga was okay now to say that you're a yoga instructor, mm-hmm. but talking about Reiki or energy medicine, and like people would look at you like, what are you talking about? Like, so it was, and that wasn't really far away. It's not like even a decade. Mm-hmm. So I can feel the shift, and it's a blessing, because that's what I was talking about, is part of your journey is when you are at a certain place, and you know, time is, we can't measure time. We can be whatever time we want it to be, but in a certain space with all the different energies of people, it makes your journey become more profound. And now that I'm here, situated here, I feel like yes, this is part of the journey, and it's just beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you bringing in that 9 years, part of that influx and emergence is because people like you were moving here and saying, yes, I'm a yogi. Yes, I'm a Reiki healer. I think Atlanta has a kind of magnet that has to do with probably our Atlantean past to some degree, but it is bringing light workers here that makes it more normalized. When you were a child, so you talked about, you mentioned that it was rather supportive for you. So in your family, were your gifts understood when you were presenting things like dreams or knowings?
So it was, and at the same time, there was like some kind of translation because, like, I would give you a certain examples from my childhood. I always loved being in nature, just wandering in nature, talking to the animals and insects. And, you know, like some people would think this kid is crazy, just walking around talking and saying stuff and then singing or, you know, being playful. But I always chose to be by myself at some point. And I was very comfortable just being by myself around things. And my grandmother, I think, bless her soul, I think she was one of the people who recognized that in me as a child. And she said that this kid is special. But I didn't even think what she meant at that time. What does she mean I'm special? Until later, early in my 20s. So she found my gift. And there happened to be an incident. I can tell you one of the dreams that I knew that I could see things happen. Do you want me to tell you that dream?
Yes, please.
Yeah, it just crossed my mind. So I think I was like around 7 or 8 years old. That's when I think we start remembering things, really remembering things from our dreams. And we all lived in one building, and my grandparents had the ground floor, and each son had a floor. It's like a 5-story building. And it was awesome because there's also all the family members in your life when you grow as a child. And I think that's important. I feel like this is not the norm right now because I have my own kid and she's always doing things by herself. There's no community around her. And I'll tell you later, like, what part of my mission is. It's just growing with other people so I can help future kids as well.
Okay.
And yeah, and then in the dream, I had, it wasn't like a nightmare, but I was scared because I dreamt of our neighbor. She was just wearing white, and she's just walking around her yard, but her yard was like a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So as a kid, you know, you wake up, you're like, oh my God, what was that? You know, it's just so scary. And then you start having ideas, and you don't understand them. So my ritual was to go and downstairs and see my grandma during morning hours. She'll be like fixing tea or making breakfast for my grandfather. And she's listening to the radio. So it was just like this really intimate relationship between us.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom also, she has the kind of psychic talent as well. So I get it from her.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandma was the one to kind of say it and not have other women be kind of scared that this is happening. You know, sometimes you have to not speak up also. You have to keep things just to yourself and your family.
Yeah.
So I told her about my dream, and she was like, don't worry about it. Maybe it's just something, you know, upsetting you. And I told her, it's kind of scary, but I wasn't scared of the woman in the dream, but the, you know, thinking about death, and I was 7 years old and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, don't worry. Half an hour later, we hear a car that's like making music. I don't know, some kind of music. And I thought it was the ice cream truck. And I ran to the street and I said, the ice cream truck is here. And my grandma was like, no, the ice cream truck's not going to come in the morning. So she ran after me. And then we saw like a black car. And I was scared when I saw the black car. I'm like, oh, no, something's happening. And then we saw that woman, the next door neighbor, wearing a white dress and the men holding her and taking her to the hospital. And she was actually dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm. So my grandma just told me, come on, let's go inside the house, you know. So I got really scared and I started crying. Mm-hmm. And then we find out it happened that when I had that dream, it was almost the same time when the woman died, which was like around 3:30 in the morning.
Mm.
So as a child, you know, just even now thinking back, and one of those things that shake you and just make you think, what does that mean? Is there something more than what my reality is?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I don't see? You know, can I reach to that other realm or what part of the world and do something good?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine, as I'm thinking, I don't have any kids myself, but I'm thinking about the 7-year-olds in my life, you know, and I can't imagine, you know, the imagination of a child. For one, you're still at this space where everything is kind of magical and fuzzy. It's not necessarily as grounded in reality. So nightmares are bigger when you're 7. And I can imagine almost even being afraid to, what if I dream somebody else is about to die? Like, that might be a little anxiety-inducing for a child.
Yeah. I learned after experience and developing my skills, taking different courses, being with the Shamanic Institute in California also. I'm a member there. I did the studies with them for about 3 years. And I learned that there are a lot of people who can predict people dying in their dreams, you know. And this is something not normal. It's normal. But how to face that, like, you know, when you get anxiety or fear out of it, and why is it coming to you? What's the purpose? And I found out through my shamanic studies that there's something called the psychopomp, who is the person, the shaman, who actually takes those lost spirits between realms who are still suffering, helping them to move to a better place. So we learned techniques to do that, and I found it very meditative that I'm helping other spirits who are stuck that need help.
Mm. So even at 7, do you feel that you were acting in that way then for her as she was transitioning?
I feel like there's maybe there's this middle thing in between. I'm not 100% sure, because, you know, through different practices, I feel like, okay, I can serve this way. But at the same time, I don't know if it's always happening, because it's not always about death. I see other things. I have visions about other things. And so I'm very, let's say, colorful with my dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, but I just wanted to give you that first thing that I remember from my childhood.
Thank you. You know, the goal of this show is to help people to see through other people's experiences something that might hit a resonant tone with them, to say, oh, my goodness, that happened to me now that I think about it. And also to help maybe bring them out of the closet, so to speak, because sometimes you can hold those things inside. Luckily, you were able to, like you said, talk to your grandmother or family, but not everybody has that. And it can be really weird, because science, they keep saying science. That can't be possible. Mm-hmm. But there's so many living testimonies from people, you know.
Oh, yes. and it's very clear now more than before, you know. That people are more aware about a lot of things. And as you said, like, Atlanta just picked up the vibe, and it's good that it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you went into your teen and adolescent years or early adulthood, were you still kind of actively then using whatever the gifts were, just in being a kid and a teenager in life? Or did you enter a period where you kind of cut off any of your senses ever?
I would say, just like every other teenager, there's a rebellious kid, you know. There's this person who wants to rebel and be curious. So I was always the curious kid who keeps asking questions. And a lot of times, no one wants to answer your question because they don't know the answer. So I was always like, how would I say, challenging the system of of asking those questions. And then the other part of me is the adventurers who wants to discover things. So I'm like on a mission or a quest, like I'm going to go find out. And that sometimes puts you in trouble, you know, but not really in a bad way. But then you're just the kid who's adventurous and curious. And my family, again, going back to the supportive system that I had, my dad, he's into fashion and retail since, you know, he's an merchant. So I grew up being in fashion and just like wearing nice stuff and getting used to that other image that comes with colors. And then I started feeling that I have my own identity because, you know, each one of us, it's not only your spirit or soul, your body. There's also something about the way you look. Mm-hmm. And that's important because it reflects on who you are and how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me also, colors, because I'm an interior architect, add a huge thing into our lives, from healing methods to you know, light to sound. Everything has colors. And when you are vibrant, your aura is vibrant, that's also carrying great colors within you. So I was blessed to have that, you know, in my family. My dad was also a musician at some point of at his life, and I grew up to like music, and that helped me with what I'm on now as a path, from the healing path. Sound, music. I use my voice a lot. I'm trying to get my music out. I used to sing when I was at school, and I love singing so much. So I'm trying to be creative with my voice as well. And my mom was also an artist. She used to love coloring, painting, and cooking. She's really a great cook.
Mm-hmm.
So all that has an impact on a child. And we might not know it, but when you are growing from, you know, zero, when you're in your mom's womb, to you become seven, that's a cycle. Mm-hmm. So every 7 years, there's a cycle in your life. And everything around that cycle and the energies that are within you in that moment of time where you're growing and developing has a major effect on how you behave, how you can expose yourself. Are you allowed to be yourself, or you're not allowed to be yourself?
The presence of art and creativity and design and music and graphic, you know, like that kind of creative place, that in and of itself is a level of freedom to have that I think facilitates later in connecting with the higher, you know, the higher psychic self and the creative sacral kind of self, because it's not coloring in the lines. You know, for a child like me, coloring in the lines, I don't have artistic ability with my hands in terms of creating sculptures and things like that. But I was free in my music. And so that, you know, many people don't grow up with the arts, for one, as part of their reality. That is a blessing, not only that you have the family that is creating and making beautiful things, and when you talked about your dreams being so vibrant and colorful, you know, I connected it, as you said, to your form of expression. If you're a dancer, you can't be structured and trapped up. You know, you just have to let the energy of the art flow through you.
That's true. And going back to if I ever changed on my journey. So, you know, we all hit bumpy roads as well. Nothing is always good and colorful and joyful. There are a lot of dark spots And mm-hmm. those dark places or bumpies on your road, I think they teach you more about yourself, about how you deal with things around you, about mm-hmm. how you accept things or not, and how you need to grow on which direction you want to take. And a lot of times we think we know what we want, but then life throws something in front of us and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to deal with this now. So mm-hmm. it detours from what you planned, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's giving you a better opportunity, even though it was a challenge, to go mm-hmm. somewhere better. That's how I see it. When I used to get into like dark spots, it was like, this is the worst thing ever. But mm. I learned that I have the sense of being one of the warrior goddesses, that I'm mm. always picking the pieces, starting all over again, you know, from zero. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's okay. We're going to go back and start again with full force. You know, don't give up on yourself. That's very important, that you have to not go down and just let go. Like, you have to remind yourself of how important you are as well. Even if you're broken, even if you lost everything that you have in life, it doesn't mean it's over. And you'll always find people who can help you, support you. You know, that's the best thing about it, is finding the right people when you are in need of them. So my adventurous spirit of like, I'm going to travel the world, came also from family, because we traveled a lot in my dad's business. And I tend to like it, because I found that, oh, you know, I can learn more things when I go to UK and see how people eat and how they talk mm-hmm. and dress. And it's interesting. And then I find myself always going to those specific spots that I am so attached to. Like, you know, I want to go visit the opera house or the shrine, or I want to go and check the hippie store in downtown somewhere. So I'm always drawn to those little things. And my parents never understood, why am I so like there, you know, like what's going on? But then they got used to me, that this is me, you know. And it took, you know, when you grow as a teenager with your challenging hormones and your mind going different places, and you don't think whatever anyone's telling you makes sense, you just think you can make your own decision and go for it. That's when you learn more, you know, because you are very receptive, you're courageous. You know, when we're teenagers, we're fearless. We don't care. So we just want to do anything. I'm not saying everyone, but I'm saying that was me when I was a teenager.
Oh, I think there's a common experience in that. It's part of growing the independence, right?
Yeah. So it's beautiful. Like, and going into the dark, it was very transformational for me. It made me get in touch more with my spiritual work, and going inward, you know, deep into yourself. Because if you don't also face your shadow, you can't be serving other people or helping the community if you're not feeling good about yourself. So you have to, you know, take care of yourself, you have to love yourself, and sometimes you don't have time for it, because you know, you have to keep running, doing things, supporting a family. So there's a lot of responsibility also as a female now, because you know that you can do it. Mm-hmm. You just have to find your way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not that easy. So
you mentioned in your bio that, you know, part of the challenge or the dark times, as you just spoke of, that you had several, you know, intense experiences of the physical healing and trauma that you really then embraced a healing path through that particular addressing those experiences. Please share with whatever you're comfortable about, you know, that.
So I had a couple of instances, it sounds like there was more than one. yeah, there has been more than one. And I think that's why I am like this today and why I'm here today, because of my experiences. And I don't have any regrets for anything in my life. I feel like I grow more mature and wise because of all the things that had been in the past. And I don't think about the past anymore. I moved on from that. So just going back and just thinking, one of the things that was traumatic, there was physical violence in my last relationship, and that's why I ended it. And I never would have imagined that you can be in a relationship with someone for years and then something like this crosses your path. And it took me 3 years to get over the whole sensation of what, first of all, understand what happened, what are the motives or reasons behind that, and try to find forgiveness. And forgiveness takes a long time. For some of us, they don't forgive at all, but we have to forgive so we can move on, because otherwise we're going to stay where we are. And I learned that. I felt I was growing even more with what I was seeing in front of me. And at that time of my life also, which was about, I would say, 5-6 years ago, I was doing my yoga instructing program to become an instructor. So I was always doing activities for yoga. And that really raises your vibration, your senses, whether from your body, your soul, your mind, and you're always like practicing and then reading a lot, chanting. You know, there's so many different practices that you can get yourself into. And that makes your awareness go even higher. So you become aware of things. And before that incident happened, I saw it in my dream 3 days before that. It was very intense that I woke up and I went and slept in the next room because I was very scared. But I wasn't sure what was that I saw in my dream. And those are the things that, you know, a lot of us don't want to talk about because, oh, is it real? Is it not real? And sometimes you even doubt yourself, you know. You're like, I'm not sure what was this or what's going on. But I write about things. I document, I think, everything in my life. I just enjoy writing as well. So yeah, when that happened, I felt it was like I was asking for the relationship to end in such a long time, but there was no way for it to end. And something happened that was so bad for it to just go away, you know, like determined. And I think this is very powerful because it's like a lot of times we call onto things that we don't know. Just thinking about things is actually channeling. I'm just thinking about something. I'm bringing it to me. I'm going to take a break and have some water.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. We allow space for the energy to move.
Can I play you one of my instruments while we're on the phone?
Absolutely.
Okay. For you and for the audience, whoever is listening today, just taking a deep breath in through the nose. Just relaxing anything that's on your mind, let it go. And release, taking a breath out through the mouth or through the nose. Was that very loud?
It was audible. It wasn't overly loud, no.
Okay, good.
It kind of went away at the end, but we got it at the first. That was a singing yes. bowl?
Yes, that's one of the crystal handheld. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. What else would you like to talk about tonight.
Yes, I'm just feeling through the flow of the energy, and you were, you know, the freedom, right, of being
yeah.
in where you are in any given moment, allowing for guidance, messages, energy, sensation, mm-hmm. things to flow through. That really is an embodiment of the freedom that you're talking about in terms of your creativity. And
yes.
when I looked at your path, well, not I can't say a path because it didn't have a linear aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
but you have your mainstream or traditional things such as interior architecture, graphic design, mm-hmm. sculpture. I mean, like, if it's something yes. with art, I think you are doing it. And then on the other side, you have, you know, the yoga and the shamanism and the Reiki and the energy medicine and crystal healing and sound healing. Did you just pick up pieces of this all along your journey, or did you kind of jump into this in your life?
Yeah, so it's interesting. When I was a kid, my parents found out that I'm into art because I had neighbors coming visiting, and I'll just be sitting in front of them on the dining table and just sketching people. And I was very young. So that's what my parents remember from my childhood, is I always liked to draw people coming in. And then when my parents would go out at night to dinner somewhere or a party, I would always change the furniture around, and it drove them nuts because they come back home and they're like, why is the living room in the dining room now? I've swapped. Like, we are getting confused. And there could be sometimes, you know, partying really late at night, and I'm like, uh-oh, not a good choice. And then I would be like walking in nature, and I always would find something, you know, like a scrap, a tree branch. And I remember one time I found this really nice tree branch that was, you know, broken because of the wind. And I grabbed it and I went home. And my mom's like, no, not again. You're not bringing junk into the house. Like, I don't even know why you do that. And then I will make some piece of art. I mm-hmm. used to always recreate from what I see in on my path. And she actually... that tree branch, I sprayed it. I remember it was like silver or some kind of gold color. And then I found an old vase at my dad's warehouse. And then I put like some kind of lights, you know, like those trees now for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
the modern
mm-hmm.
style. Mm-hmm. And then my mom loved it, and she started showing her friends what I did with the tree. But it's so I had this creativity that's always on fire. Like, I mm-hmm. need to fix things when things break down. The VCR, I don't think everybody knows what the VCR is. when it used to break down, my dad would say, go fix it. And I would just open it, you know, bring the screwdriver and screw it and start playing with the wires. And then I put it back. It's still it's runs, but there are always kind of some screws left out. I don't know where to put them back. So it was fun. It was always like this challenging and independency. I was building on my own independency at the same time, learning skills. And that's when they were like, you have to go and study design because you are a designer. You know, you mm-hmm. like to design things. And I did. Like, I would design. And I started also when I was in college designing for people, their houses, their shops. I helped my dad with his retail stores when I was a kid. I always loved windows, decorating all the window shops. I think that was what was my starting point also as a kid. So they found this talent and they fueled it with more stuff. You know, they're like, go to college, study interior design. And I don't know how they were able to afford it because it's a lot of money just doing all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but during all this time, I used to also go to yoga classes. And I learned about them from one of my aunts. She used to go and she used to take me with her. And the women, most of them, they'll come to me and they're like, why are you here? You're so young. You're not supposed to come when you're so young. I'm like, why does yoga have an age? Like, I did not understand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you have to be like having issues to do yoga. Like, no, yeah, you can start when you're really young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I teach my kid now. And everything in the fabric of my life was there, and I was drawn more into it. And I loved being alone because I would hear things that come to me or see things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, when you ask for something, you pray. You say, I pray that people will be safe, or, you know, I pray that this happen. You set an intention for something. And then when you see it come true, then you believe, then you're a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know this is not you dreaming. And then when you see other people talk about it and express how they feel and what they share with what they do, there's value also in that.
Yes, there is.
And as long as you're just, you know, doing something good. For me, it's also, if somebody needs me, I'm there for them. If they need me to just sit and listen, I'm always good at that. I just sit and listen. I don't have to tell you or reflect on what I think. I just want to help you because I'm just holding space for you to heal.
In your bio, I mean, it's, again, I refer back to it because it's so beautifully written, but you talk about that you are an advocate for souls of all color, for diverse spiritual beings, for single parents, families, and for women without a voice, believing that everything is alive and connected, and that each one of us has the inner power to heal oneself. So you seem to just be very, very, like, that's your way of being, is to be the listener, the healer, the shaman, the designer, the yogi, right? Like,
mm-hmm. It's my service. It's my service to the community. Like, this is the skill or the gift I have, so I need to share it. You know, we are, as I said, born with skills, and that's like, when we say, oh, I have a job or my career, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to find it. It's your passion. You have to find that passion. And when you find it, that's your service. And that's what makes you feel good, because you feel like the spotlight is on you because you are helping other people. It's not the ego.
Do you work with people one-on-one in your service modalities on the energy healing side? What does a client look like with you? Or what kind of services would I receive? What kind of dynamic or relationship do you have for spiritual work?
So So currently what my focus is doing sound healing. I have sound healing sessions one-to-one at my studio, and I have public places that I host, also sound immersion baths here in Atlanta, in Georgia in general. My personal liking is, as I said, the sound, as well as yin yoga. I offer yin yoga and yoga nidra. I think because of my experience as a yoga teacher, you know, at the end, we all find our passion. And I find myself to be leaning more towards stretching deeper, being calmer, patient, you know, because that's me. I can't, I have energy and I'm dynamic, but I don't like things to move very fast. I like things to be in the flow. So I'm teaching people that as well.
Yes.
And it's part of a journey. Like, we have to slow down a little bit, you know, to also manifest things. We have to watch and listen and take a break and pause.
Yes. I giggle because in the flow, that was a spiritual statement for me there, and several of my listeners I know as well, of relaxing into the flow. So, and I have to say,
going into the groove.
Well, and you know, the moving within your own energetic rhythm rather than responding to the energetic rhythm of the outside world has, I think, that's where the flow happens versus the paddle. You know. Your energy, just even when I saw you or when I see you, do have like a very just calming, watery flow energy just to experience you as well. And I do look forward to connecting for an actual sound bath instead of crossing. But you... I haven't even gone through all your websites because so for those people who are interested in connecting you for your work in this realm, it's Manal Siddhani .life, right?
.life, yeah.
Yes, .life. And on there, you have a blog and a ways to connect with your activities. If I recall right, you do have a blog on there. You can tell you're a designer, I could also say, because each of your websites are very nicely done.
Yeah, I designed. I studied, you know, the funny thing is also during COVID, I'm very also in, like, I use, I think because of my sign, I use my intellect of, and I keep wanting to study things and know more and learn and learn. And it's been since I was a kid. Like, as I told you, I want to fix things. I want to, like, now the best part of my day is when I get a small cabinet that I want to fix. It's like, wow, I'm going to do something, you know. It's exciting for me. So I always work around the house. And it's fun. So, but what...
It's your meditation, I think. That's what I was going to add. So you facilitate people in meditation practice as well?
Yes, yes. Part of my yoga practice is meditation, yoga nidra. If people don't know much about yoga nidra, we do a small, like, yoga practice, very restorative, and then I will be just going into a visual meditation where someone would be just laying down listening to my words, which is a visual meditation. And it's like being in a lucid dream, but you are awake. So that's kind of what dream yoga, you might be able to call it as well. So I do that. And this practice helps people who have insomnia and they can't sleep, or they have high level of anxiety and stress. So again, it's another modality of just being calm and relaxed. And I found it when I was doing, you know, as a yoga instructor, you have to also take courses to keep your hours and your credit hours. You can't just like finish and that's it. You have to keep studying. So one of the courses I took during COVID was Yoga Nidra with a great instructor. And I fell in love with it because I love writing and I love using my voice with sound, like some kind of music. And then there's yoga in it. So it was perfect, all the things together. And I play around with things because I also do art therapy and I'm a designer. I used to host groups before COVID at the Metaphysics store in Decatur. It unfortunately closed because of COVID. But we used to have art therapy there. It was really fun. We used to do like full moon art therapy or stuff like that. And it helps bring the community together. And also just when you are holding the brush, your brain freezes. It's like meditation. You stop thinking about all those 6,000 thoughts in you, you know. You just relax and you're focused on the mechanism of what's coming next. So you're feeding your brain with less thoughts. And that's very therapeutic. And color, of course, reflects a lot on your behavior and how you see things around you. So there's so many different modalities I practice, but my passion now is, as I said, towards just anything that can help people de-stress, relax, and think about themselves, because we all forget ourselves. And not all of us, most people just want to keep going and running different activities can be like negative on you after a while. You have to take a break. You have to find, and I tell my students now in classes, even if it's just 5 minutes, put a reminder on your phone for 5 minutes. Just go and stare outside the window if you can't go and walk. You know, just look outside. And if it's sunny, it's really nice to go outside and take a short walk when the sun is out. It's very nourishing for you. You know, the sun makes you smile. It's just the color of joy. So, and little things that you do that really matters. And also your thoughts, what you think about. Because your brain, I found out after all these years, that doesn't really know if you're thinking in the present, the past, or the future. It's whatever you're telling it. So when you keep telling it things that are negative, it's just going to thrive on that. So you have to be more positive about what you think. And sometimes we can't help it. You know, we all have things that just attack us from nowhere. Like, whoa, like I'm sitting in my chair. What's going on now? But you have to take it how would I say it? No expectation. Like, you know, a lot of times we put high expectation on things or we're very low expectation, very pessimistic. But I learned throughout my experience of how to deal with stress is not to expect anything, whether good or bad. Just stay neutral.
I'm giggling because there used to be that skit back in the, I don't know if it was Saturday Night Live or Mad TV or something, but they had a little skit called Lowered Expectations. Of course, it wasn't positive, right? But it was this whole little thing. But expectations, like you said, we create a reality so easily and invest in it that managing whether that manifests or not can be a detriment to us depending on our investment. And, you know, most of the people seem that I hear all the time, they talk about, you know, the monkey mind or the ruminating. They say, I just can't seem to, when I go to sleep and I'm trying to lay down, I just can't stop my brain and I'm not sleeping. And I wake up the next day and I'm going over my list and that kind of constant higher brain thought thinking, but not doing anything. It's just thinking about the doing.
Yeah, but there are practices that you can do. There's some yoga and breath work practices you can do before you sleep to help release that. And also, one other thing that some people might find this is overboard. Like, talking to yourself is also therapeutic. And, you know, when you talk out loud, and I did that when I was a kid, and that's what I told you, like, you know, you are different when people look at you like, what's going on? But when you talk to yourself, it's like you're affirming something to the universe. You're confirming the message. You know, you are recognizing that you are living here. And life is just a dream. That's what I think. Life is just a dream. It's how you create that dream.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to always be in a nightmare? Or do you want to be in a comfortable sleep? Like, what do you really want? Ask yourself, what do you really want? And why do you want that? And that's how you start looking at things. And then something that was hard for me to start doing, but I got calmer when I started doing that, is really taking time to breathe before you say anything, before you react to anything, even if it's like a really somebody screaming at you in front of you. Like, just breathe and think, because whatever you're going to say next is going to, you know, have a whole impact on the result. So what is that you want from it? And don't let things get to you. We sometimes live and think about little annoying things, like maybe the person in the store just jumped in front of me in the line. Like, why? My kid the other day, she told me, why did you let him go in front of us? I told her, it's okay, he only has one thing. If he had like a whole cart, I would really tell him, no, mister, you can't cross and skip the line, you know. But we have to also be forgiving for certain things. And that's how we become less stressed. Like, it's okay, you know, some things can be better if we all know how to communicate. And it's all about energy. There are people you know what to expect from when you're going to go see them, because you know their energy. And you'll be like either happy about it or unhappy before you're going, you know. You already know.
Yes. We already know what we're in store for.
Yes. Because it's all about the energy. And that's why, like, I'm saying it's not everything is great, but just be more acceptance and no assumptions about things. And we all get in moods. We all have a physical body that changes with hormones and age and pain, you know, physical pain. And then that also creates another load on your mind. Like, I'm in pain right now. How can I manage pain? And when I worked with senior people, that was the most difficult thing for me to understand, that why can't he move his hand that way or lift his, you know, arm? Like, as a yoga instructor, that's also challenging. And then you're like, oh, this has to, the way you're going to say it, or the sequence has to have a lot of things cut from that. You know, like you were in a movie and you're cutting scenes because it's not going to fit the audience. So that's also when you work with seniors, there's a challenge there. But that for me became also one of the things I learned, is how to be more patient and compassionate and mindful.
And you work with all ages. I mean, the things that you're doing and providing is suitable for all ages. Sound?
Yeah, I do. It depends on, like, I'm open to everything. That's why I mentioned I'm open to all different colors in this universe and flavors. But it's also about the energy. Like, sometimes you meet up with someone and, you know, you think something's good's going to come out of this meeting. But then the energies, they don't collide. They're not on the same vibe. So you feel like, okay, how do I deal with this? So you have to, like, say sorry, but in a nice way, you know what I mean? Because for us also as energy healers, if your energy is off to begin with the person that you want to offer the healing work, it might not really come through. because the vibe is not set on the right note.
Yes.
So that's the challenge for me as a worker, as a healing worker.
Yeah, it is, because there's that, the old model of service to all regardless of self, sacrificial, I think, template. That learning to be a healthy healer, you know, a healthy anything, not just a healer.
That's true. Like, I worked with some people, and one time I was at a place, and I really did not enjoy the energy. I was like, no, I'm not coming back here. I had another session booked, but deep down inside, I was not happy about the energy of the people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the next session and nobody showed up. So I was really happy that the class was canceled.
Earlier, we create our, you know, sometimes we're creating, we don't even know, we're calling the situation, circumstances to resolve a situation for us.
That's how you manifest things. You have to ask for what you want and listen to your gut. You know, it's very important to listen to what you feel. A lot of times we just ignore it and say, no, it's fine. No, I can do this. But then you're like in a worse spot. So,
many people can relate to staying in a situation that's uncomfortable way longer than was probably healthy. But the time that they stay, it's growthful. You know, we learn a lot in those times. Right?
I've been there. Yes. But also listen to your heart, you know, like not only your ideas and thoughts, because you're the one who's feeding your mind, first of all. You're telling your mind what you want. But listen to your heart, because it's important that we have feelings that gives us more intimacy with our relationship as human beings.
That is probably the best advice. People don't realize how powerful our heart, the feeling that it emits, and the current electricity, the science is all backing that up. But when you have that heart for something, or you don't have the heart for it, that is a great compass.
It's a killer. Yes.
And our hearts have so much capacity to hold things we love, you know, love for people, love for art, love for... anything and anyone. There's no over, you're never going to be able to overlove with the capacity
exactly.
And for you, like with all the things that you've collected in your journey, in your tool belt, and in your energy, to have the experience of what will be coming as you go into the flow of continuing to open your heart to the world and whatever you're called to do, that has to be kind of like exciting to know.
It is. But we all have challenges on, even on this path, you know, like I think people are scared sometimes to open up. They come, they want to experience, let's say, a sound bath. And in not all my classes, I mention the same thing. Sometimes I forget to tell them that it will bring emotions to the surface a lot of times. And you might feel uncomfortable with yourself. You know, depending on the class and how the time goes. So I see people sometimes after the class, they're so like, oh my gosh, no, this is horrible, like a horrible experience. And I tell them, I noticed you were like holding your head the whole time. And she was like, yeah, my head hurts. And I told her, I didn't want to ask her anything personal, but she had like a lot of emotions come from her childhood that was disturbing her. And the sound created that, you know, because sound is so powerful, it's so profound. Mm-hmm. It hits on the tissues, on your nervous system, everything, you know. Your brain waves get induced. So took her somewhere, and she wasn't ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her to be gentle with herself and, you know, just gave her a couple of tips on to ground herself so she's not shaking or not feeling good the rest of the week. But that's the thing, like people who want to go get a yoga class or a sound healing, it's all, they think all the time, it's going to make me feel great and it's all about fun, you know. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes mm-hmm. even people in a yoga class, they'll be crying, you know, like they feel, because mm-hmm. the muscles also have feelings. They condense feelings and emotions. And you need to release also those oppressed emotions. So muscles, that's why people exercise, walk, run. And yoga is part of an exercise. To me, it is. And it's just another ritual that I practice during my day just to stay healthy and fit. You have to run after a 7-year-old kid when you are in your late 40s. So, yeah, you're like, okay, wait a minute. I'm not sure I can do this.
Well, I'm laughing because my board operator is 50 with an 11-year-old. So there's probably a little bit of acknowledgement there amongst the...
Yes. Oh, my God. It's a different reality. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm blessed that I feel I'm staying young, but sometimes I'm not. Like, who am I kidding?
Yes.
Now, in your practices, I know you work with your own 7-year-old. Do you work with the younger populations or provide, like, you know, sound discovery?
I would love to experience an opportunity. I have not. Actually, I tried to go through the school that my kid is at right now and offer it to the teachers. I'm waiting for them to get back to me to just for sound. But I know there are a lot of practitioners. I know one specifically in UK, he practices with kids, autistic kids and different also, you know, physical ailments, I would say, with other situations mm-hmm. and just the norm, you know, everything that is possible. But not everybody's still on that, you know, they don't know much about sound and how it works. The thing that was very thrilling for me and new information that I found recently is they're trying to treat the cancer, like, you know, after the chemo, sometimes mm-hmm. they do radiology. So now instead of using radiology, they want to introduce sound waves mm-hmm. because they found that it's lighter, it's also therapeutic and effective. Because mm-hmm. If you really see what the sound as a wave does to your tissues and your body, you'll be amazed.
I think people might be a little shocked too, because most of us aren't yeah. aware of the sounds that we're hearing in radio music and in our environment
yeah.
and how disruptive they are to our vibration, mm-hmm. can be to our vibration.
Yes.
You know, so the new awareness that sound can be either be good or bad, it's not just some little thing, you know.
No, it affects your mental health as well, you know. Like if you wake up, somebody's like, early in the morning at 5 doing the lawn, you'll be like really pissed off, you know. Like, no, don't do that now. It's not the right time to wake me up like that.
Right.
So, yeah, so sound is very powerful. And, you know, the louder things, the more, that's why we get scared when we hear a siren, because it's alerting, alarming. Your body even, like, reacts to it. You know, you'll mm-hmm. be like, huh, you know, like as if you're ready to fight or flight, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So you're, like, on that sensation. So that means something is not good. You're not feeling good. But when you hear a nice musical or a nice song reminding you something from your past or some kind of music that you like to listen to that gives you a good boost during the day, you feel much better after you hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so they
can
dance. You know, the sound bath is now the popular terminology for these immersive things, but it really is, you know, cleansing, clearing, immersing like liquid yourself in a sound experience that is being created by a healer such as yourself. It, each one is different. It's not like you're turning a record on and playing something that is static. It is a living experience that is flowing for the people.
Exactly. And I studied that for about 2.5 years to get a diploma in sound therapy. That was a very interesting journey for me as well. I learned a lot because I had case studies and patients that, like, I had to have 6 minimum and each had to take 5 sessions as my case studies. That's for the first level. And then the second level was even more. And that itself was a journey, was a great journey for me because I was attracted to all this ahead of time and I was buying the tools without knowing. I just go somewhere and I'm like, oh, I want to buy this crystal ball because I really am attached to it somehow. I don't know what's attaching me to it. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I wanted to talk about is sometimes people feel guilty for being attached to things, but I say these things, if you are attached to them, it means there's a purpose for you. You know, try to find that purpose. Why do you like them? Not just to collect them and put them, you know, make use of something. It could be your gift or your hobby as well. And just treat yourself. Sometimes it's nice to treat yourself with something nice.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, you never know what that little breadcrumb. You know, I've heard people say, I forgot I had this book on, you know, whatever. I forgot I had this old things packed away here. And then when the right moment comes, you already have everything you need.
Yes. But also declutter is important. That's one thing I learned. Like, because I have a lot of things from my instruments. And, you know, there's a special studio there and I travel with them. But in general, when part of the energy and the feng shui that I practice also as interior design at the same time is your brain needs space. So your space also needs space. So you have to like have some areas where there's less clutter. So when you move around and you feel more easy, just like you're walking in nature, that's also important.
As I undertake my spring cleaning, I'm going to keep that in mind.
Yeah, but we're all human beings. We're attached to things, you know, and we see things we like. And I was telling someone, I'm just so upset that they have to keep creating events when you go out to retail stores just for you to buy whatever, you know, there's an occasion every month now. Like, why? That's too much.
Acquire, right? Do you have anything on your, I know you're like in your now, but do you have any kind of modality or learning that you're going, that you have on your horizon that you're excited about as you're considering it?
You mean teaching it or learning?
Learning and incorporating something new in your own considerable portfolio.
Every time I just say I'm gonna stop, you know, I'm gonna pause, and that's it. But I don't know. I just get attracted to things and I go with the flow. Like now, there's something I'm introducing. And I guess I can announce it on the radio because we just confirmed the classes today. I'm going to be introducing a new modality, mixing fun with, again, relaxation. And it's going to be called Kundalini Belly Dancing.
Oh. Okay. My ears will perk.
Yeah, so it's going to be a class where I'm going to teach Kundalini practices, you know, the serpent, the back movement, the spine, the shoulders, the hips, you know, all these parts are important. And then belly dancing for especially the feminine divine energy and shaking and just laughing and just listening to music and learning something different. Mm-hmm. This energy just came to me. It's like an idea that pops in my head. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to do this now. I don't know where it comes from. But then I start doing my own due diligence. I start researching because I'm not a professional belly dancer. I come from the Middle East. I know how to belly dance, but I'm not like professional belly dancer. So it's going to be a fun class. Like, I'm not going to give anyone certifications that they are professional belly dancers. So it's going to be something for fun. And I'm excited about
it. Is it a series of classes in this or just a single session?
I'm going to try to make it a series of four. So there's, you know, a development in stages. Because I met a lady and I was talking to her and she said, oh, I would love that. She started making me listen to the music she likes for belly dancing. It was really cute. And she said, but I don't know if I just want to know the basics because I already know the first steps. So and I told her, no, we're going to do like four classes where you get to dance. Just belly dancing.
Where's your studio at? What part of Atlanta?
My personal studio is in Woodstock.
Okay. There's so much beautiful stuff happening way to the north of town. But
I moved last year because of school. I was living more towards Lawrenceville area and Tucker. So that was closer for me even to other people, and I miss some of my friends and practitioners because we used to go and, you know, hang out. And it's like I'm going to the other side of the world now if I go there.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly you're needing it there. So depending on when you hold a class, I'm going to be following you. And I think I signed up for one of your group things, but I don't know if I signed up for your mailing list when I did that. But
I'm going to add you to my mailing list. And I'm going to do a special class, for the group that I'm trying to get together, all the goddesses. So, and just have fun. You know, sometimes being around people and just talking about your day or it's just wonderful, you know. I find it really nice now that my kid comes back from school and she actually asks me, Mom, how was your day? And it gives me this smile, you know, like she actually cares to listen to how was my day. So I think that connection with people creates a bond, and it's a nice feeling.
Well, I am just even, you know, more convinced than I was before our conversation that it was a fortuitous meeting when Don made sure that I ran into you up there. And do you have any sound baths coming up in the next few weeks?
I have, I think, one in Roswell, not in my studio. And what else? Every 2 weeks, I have a sound bath in Roswell, actually. So it's called the Open Mind Center.
Oh, Open Mind Center. Okay. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do that every every 2 weeks, and I hold my own special group sessions here at my studio as well.
Well, I'm glad I'm going to be on your mailing list. And for, you know, anyone else listening, well, let me just repeat, your website is MANALSOUDANI.life. And also, is it .com is the art, mm-hmm. or is it
manalsadani.com? So there's one only .com and there's one .art. So the .art is basically my art, just my graphic, interior design, all kinds of art media, oil, watercolor. And then .life is all about the spiritual work, the modalities that I practice as a sound healer, a yogi, a mindfulness instructor. And then the .com is actually my portfolio for UX design. I'm not familiar if people mm-hmm. know what UX design is, user experience, and there's also a portfolio in that. It just shows them the case studies that I did and the designs that I created on that website.
I'll say UX is kind of like the ultimate flow manifestation, right? If you got a good
I started
user.
Building on things, though. When I was back at this boot camp for UX, I told my instructor, how can I make a website that has all the websites? He's like, you cannot do that. And I'm like, but why? It's just so much work for me. And he's like, but what do you want to do? I said, I do all these things. This is me, you know, mm-hmm. and it is me. Like, I don't practice being interior architect as much as before because I'm more focused on my spiritual work right now. And I think mm-hmm. it was a phase, you know, when as I said, you are 0 to 7 years old, you go through a phase and then to 14, and that's how you grow. So every phase in my life takes me to a new stage. And that's the beauty of it, is like, okay, I did all this. I'm happy with it now. I can close the chapter and move to the new chapter now.
Mm-hmm. But you don't take that out of you. You know, it doesn't leave you. Like, I'm sure you look around you and are still rearranging
rooms. I still play with things. I still play. I'm still the kid playing around.
Yeah, that's a great...
It's nice to have toys, you know. And then being able to find what you like. I really encourage people to look for the passion and find it and follow it. 'Cause it makes you happy.
Well, this is my passion, and so it has made me very happy that you've taken the time out this evening to talk about your journey and to share, and, of course, to just bathe us in your energy, which was super soothing and peaceful and beautiful. So I thank you so much, Manal.
Thank you. Thank you, Joelle.
So everyone,
I feel so special that I'm on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, it's just community and conversations, and we don't know who we're standing beside at any given moment, and to have an opportunity to learn and hear about a person's journey, to me, is like an honor to be allowed into your space for that sharing. So everyone, if you want to reach out with Manal, please do. We'll make sure that the link is in the show notes. Everywhere it goes, pass it on to somebody. And if you're in the Atlanta area, definitely follow along. Maybe we'll see each other at a belly dance or at a yoga or sound bath somewhere. I guess next week I'm not going to be on the air. I'll be traveling. And the week after that, I have another beautiful individual, Leticia, will be on the show with me next April 17th or somewhere around there. So I appreciate everyone tuning in and sharing these conversations with me. And I will do all that I can to make sure that this is published far and wide, and that I know that Spirit has a higher direction in knowing that somebody will hear this. And that is my assurance, is that there is somebody who needs to hear what you shared, and that is fulfilling my passion for this show. So thank you, Manal.
Thank you so much. Blessed be, Joelle.
Thank you. Namaste, all.
Have a good night.